From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns has been preaching a message entitled, Tempting, Grieving, and Quenching the Spirit, part of his series on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. The three texts for this message are Acts 5:9, Ephesians 4:30, and 1 Thessalonians 5:19. In the first text, we see the sin of Ananias and Sapphira, a sin of deliberate hypocrisy. The second text warns believers against sins which grieve the Holy Spirit, sins such as lying, stealing, indulging in corrupt speech, or treating things of God lightly. The third passage, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, commands, "Quench not the Spirit." It warns against putting out the fire of the Spirit by such sins as denying His working, neglecting to pray with thanksgiving, or despising the Word of God, even by ignoring the Spirit altogether. Dr. Cairns will conclude this message in just a few minutes. First, he takes time to answer the question, Do all who die as infants go to heaven? The video version of this comment may be found on our website, ltbsradio.com, under Q&A with Alan Cairns.
Do all who die in infancy go to heaven? Let's define infancy for a start. Infancy, according to John Calvin, describes the state or the stage of those who cannot respond to the claims of the gospel. In other words, they have not developed to the stage of being able to respond to the call of the gospel. So, that's my definition, basically, of an infant. So, do infants who die, or babies who die, do they go to heaven? All of them? Personally, I believe, yes, the answer is biblically that they do go to heaven. The Westminster Confession of Faith covers itself here by simply saying that elect infants dying in infancy go to heaven. Well, that we can be absolutely sure of, for God's elect will be in heaven. My belief is that any whom God takes in infancy go to heaven because they are His elect and they're covered in His grace by the merits of Christ's atonement. They don't go to heaven because they're innocent little babes. They're born in sin. They go to heaven because of God's grace extending to them the merits of Christ's atonement. Now, is this just an opinion based on sentiment? For most people it is. Personally, I believe we have good ground biblically for my belief that when God takes a life in infancy, He does take that life to heaven by His grace. We're told, for example, and I understand that this is part of an argument in another area, but nonetheless the statement is absolutely true, that where there is no law, sin is not imputed. Now, where is there no law? I think that you could readily recognize that the unconscious infant is not acting either for or against the law. The same may well be said of the person who was born lunatic and never has any comprehension of law, or even really of God's right and God's wrong. So where there is no law, sin is not imputed. But according to Paul in Romans 4, very carefully notice this, when he quotes Psalm 32, Psalm 32 says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity." Sin is not imputed. In Romans 4, Paul translates that as meaning, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputes righteousness." And the righteousness imputed is the righteousness of Christ. So I take it that when God says, where there's no law, sin is not imputed, he's saying, in that case, the righteousness of Christ is imputed. So, and there are other lines of argument that one may adopt, but for the sake of brevity, I will stick here. Do people dying in infancy go to heaven? I believe they do. But again, I emphasize, they get there on the same ground as anybody else, on the sole merits of the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ, freely made over to their account by the sovereign grace of God.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Never try to put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't want wildfire. We don't want spurious fire. We don't want man-made counterfeits. But on the other hand, neither do we want a cold, lifeless farce that calls itself Christianity. Oh, we have got to be so full of decorum in church. We have this stupid notion, and I say that honestly, it is stupid. Oh, I understand where it came from, and I can understand the good intentions that gave rise to it, but nonetheless, it's a man-made stupidity that draws the distinction between a worship service and a gospel service. And you can't sing too hard on a Sunday morning. That's a worship service. Can't throw your head back and put your chest out and fill your lungs with air and really give God the glory. You dare say hallelujah on a Sunday morning. That's a worship service. Man, where did we ever come to that sort of pass? Man-made nonsense. You see, our decorum can ultimately come to be just a nicely colored shroud to cover the corpse of a dead church. Never think that a nice choir, and I like to have a good choir, but never think that a nice choir and high class music and a lovely form of service and everybody feeling aesthetically fulfilled is Christianity, for it's not. And what's more, however much it may be of peripheral value, it can never be of the essence of Bible Christianity. If we don't have the Spirit of God, it doesn't matter what you have. You can have the best preachers, the nicest singers. You can have it all. But if you don't have the Spirit of God there, it's dead. Don't put out the fire of the Holy Ghost. How can we do that? How can we put out the fire? You look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and you'll find that the surrounding texts will show that you put out the fire by rebelling against the leading of the Lord and not accepting with praise His providential dispensations. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. When God is dealing, as we were singing this morning, in such a way that we cannot see, we're not willing to sing by faith and trust the leading of the Lord, but rather rebelliously we would try to have our own way. I want to tell you that is putting out the fire of the Spirit. You look at verse 18 again. There's an emphasis on prayer with praise. The neglect of prayer and thanksgiving, that puts out the fire of the Spirit of God. Where do churches first lose out with God? In their prayer meetings. That's where they first lose out. When we get used to the prayer meeting and we just come and go, and then we come less and less and less until finally prayer meeting is a dead meeting. My, I tell you, if we lose the fire of God in our prayer meeting, we have lost the fire of God, period. It's gone. Don't put out the fire in the prayer meeting. And also put out the fire of God by neglect of the will of God. Verse 18 is speaking of the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's one thing that ought to concern me, and that is the will of God. When Christians know the will of God, fly in the face of God and refuse to do the will of God, that's quenching the Spirit. Then, of course, verse 20, you can put out the fire by despising the Word of God. Despise not prophesyings, those inspired utterances of the living Word of God. That's how you put the fire out. Surely there's another way. The most insidious of all. I think this is the thing that is cursing our fundamental churches. And that is the neglect or the ignoring of the teaching of the Bible concerning the Holy Spirit. And especially concerning His fullness and His power. I don't want to harp on one theme, but I remind you again of what most of you at some time or another have said during this past year. Some of you have been saved for a few years. Some of you have been saved for many years. But the almost unanimous verdict of this people has been,
However long you've been saved, this is the first time in all your Christian experience that you've ever been led to study the Scriptures about the person and work of the Holy Spirit. If that's not quenching the Spirit, to ignore Him is to live as if He didn't exist. He's just a name that's dropped from a lip in prayer. To live as if there were no need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. To pray without reference ever to the promise that we will be filled with the Holy Ghost. To go through our lives without ever spending time before God, pleading those promises, crying to God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, that is not only grieving to Him, but quenching Him. Now, these are serious issues. If we're seeing we're called to be a holy people, a people in fellowship with Christ, and whose fellowship is maintained by the personal activity of God the Holy Spirit, we must have a living experience of the Holy Ghost. To sin against the Holy Spirit is not only a folly, it's a tragedy. It hurts you as an individual. It hurts us all as a church. As I finish this morning, perhaps the Lord, somewhere along this message, has spoken to you about carelessness in these areas. Perhaps the Lord has made you feel conviction about one or more things. Remember, conviction is one thing. To have a lasting benefit is a very different thing. I've been in so many meetings where people have had a sudden feeling that if the preacher were to make an appeal for Christians, might they all respond. There's nothing wrong with them responding. I have made many appeals to Christians, and I'll do so again. But so often the response lasts no longer than the day, or that day and the day following. Remember this. The Holy Ghost points to Christ. And if God has convicted you of failure or backsliding or sin, what is to be done about it? The Spirit of holiness points you to Christ. He is the way of holiness. He is the one who has made unto us sanctification or holiness. And if you're going to walk in the Spirit, then, my friend, the way is simple and plain. How do you walk in the Spirit? Now, I could give you a whole lot of answers to that. Walk in obedience to the Bible. Walk in prayer. Walk in the will of God. Walk in a way of commitment to the Lord. Walk in a way of submission. All those things are true. But the question still nags, how on earth do you do it? And the answer is very, very plain in Scripture. If you're to walk in the Spirit, to use Paul's words in Hebrews 12, you run with patience the race that is set before you, looking off unto Jesus. Looking off unto Jesus. How did you get saved? By faith in Christ. How do you go on with God? By faith in Christ. My best advice to you would be, certainly, feeling your sin, go before God with honest confession. Honest confession. Let the Lord put His finger right on the spot. Don't ever try to run away from the time of confession. Some of the most important times in my life have been times when God has dealt with me specifically and broken my heart and brought me to tears and the end of myself over what he has been revealing. Don't run away from confession. Get to the place of confession. Cry to God by his Spirit to show you the fullness of Christ. And I want to tell you, when your heart is drawn out to see your Savior, when you see there's power in him to keep you, and you live looking unto Jesus, you live in the Spirit. And while you're looking to Christ, you will not tempt the Spirit, or grieve the Spirit, or quench the Spirit. May God indeed speak to our hearts and make us the people who know their God, who walk in his Spirit by the faith of his Son.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.